I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I am and a man is who I am. I am an...
That's too high, darling. I did say that.
Hello, I'm here with Tom Walker. Hello, darling, how are you?
I'm very well. Pleasure to be here.
You look great. You've still got your hair.
Yes, I had my hair cut recently under lockdown circumstances, so I had to do very similar to this. I did it over Zoom.
Oh, really?
A Zoom haircut.
They can do that with the scissors through the screen. It's
incredible what you can do with technology.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing, isn't it?
And we'll talk about that later, but you've really taken technology by the cock and you've squeezed, haven't you?
I've squeezed. And when I squeeze cock...
Yeah,
stuff comes out,
and I'm really going to be looking forward to picking through that stuff and seeing what we can find inside it, because I'm sure there's
So am I.
I remember when you were getting very stressed about various things with your career, because you're a man full of energy and fire and cholesterol. Mm. And I remember there was a time when you were actually pulling out clumps of your hair in a rage. Has that all gone?
You can still see the odd remnants of it. What I've done since then, because I went to see someone about it.
Yes.
And I just plait my hair now.
Quite dreadlocky, actually.
It is. What I really want is for it to get to that point where it's quite matted. Sometimes you see someone with dreadlocks and you go, oh, that looks lovely. Normally it's sort of
I don't think I've ever thought that.
Glastonbury. Really?
Or maybe.
That might be your prejudice.
Maybe a genuine dreadlock.
A genuine dreadlocker. No, I want dreadlocks not like a genuine dreadlocker. I want it to be that sort of Trustafarian, the 35-year-old sort of Glastonbury, someone who looks like, you know, if you went near their genitals, it would smell.
Because you keep your genitals very clean, don't you? That's the one good thing people say about you is, well, at least he keeps his cock clean.
When it comes to cocks, balls, fannies, all of the genitalias, present as you would wish to be presented to. Bald as a coot, smelling a lavender.
Yes.
And for me.
You've got to do
for
it.
Me.
It's got to be done.
For me.
Especially on stage. There's nothing worse than being on stage, especially if you're doing some sort of dangerous physical theatre piece, as I know you like to do. You know, a lot of artistic, you know, you're hanging on barbed wire with your cock flapping.
A lot of cocks so far, hasn't it?
I'm sorry about that. But if there's a bit of a whiff, the audience will find it very hard to suspend their disbelief. How's your lockdown?
I've got to be honest with you, I'm bored shitless.
Are you leaving the house or are you terrified?
I'm not terrified, but I'm rarely leaving the house. Rarely.
And is that because they...
It's because I live in the middle of Whitechapel and you walk outside and everyone's so fucking ugly.
And there's a lot of murders, I imagine.
Well, I'm actually, oddly enough, reading a book about Jack the Ripper written by Bruce Robinson, who wrote With Nellie.
Oh, yes, yes.
Fascinating read.
I've heard about that. He thinks he's got the answer. He's bonkers. He's got his man.
He's got his man. It's very well researched, and the police are bastards. They covered it up. But my point being, because I'm learning about all these juicy murders in the area that I live, and lockdown's very boring. Maybe it's time to
recreate.
Homage. How does one homage?
With theatre. Me and Sue recently, Sue Clinch, my best friend, we did a version of Jason and the Argonauts around the park. You know, Sue was the boat.
Oh, lovely.
And I just rode her around and around, and it was beautiful. And people loved it. Are you suffering actor shrinkage at all? You know, when your soul shrinks because you haven't performed for long?
Bank shrinkage.
You
money shrinkage.
Money shrinkage.
You know, yeah.
Do you feel like if I don't perform soon, I'm going to explode?
It's never really been about the love. It's always been about the dosh, you know.
The dosh, right,
money.
Sure.
Because,
sure.
I mean,
that's why you got out
I don't
of
know
here.
About you. I mean, that's why most people go into the arts, isn't it?
I do it because there is a little part in the middle of my soul that is on fire, and only getting on stage will extinguish that flame and stop me burning.
Have you tried a cream for that?
No, I tried Gaviscon. but it wasn't the same. And it doesn't reach the soul. But anyway, yes, as you were saying, we first crossed paths the first time in that wonderful play. Do you remember that many years ago?
I do.
Before you become the internet sensation, Jonathan Pye. We appeared many years ago in that wonderful play. It was a farce, I think. What was it? Who Bummed the Butler? Do you remember that?
Who Bummed the Butler? I do.
Where did you join? Because you weren't the original. Because you were the butler, weren't you?
Weston-super-Mare I joined. I had a day's rehearsal, and then I had to nip back to London the afternoon of the first performance to have my anus bleached, because, of course, it was part of the plot.
That was a very audiovisual piece. One of the first times they used actual colonoscopy in theatre. Like, really? Incredibly brave. We remember the director, Tim Stickler, and you were not sure about this, I think, when we first started. You were saying, is this really necessary to...
No.
Show the inside of my anus. And he said, well, it's funny, isn't it? And it's more of a farce, you know, it's more sort of opening doors and getting in the wrong bed and all that. But in the end, how did you feel when they actually went up there? Was there any part of you that regretted taking the job?
Only my anus. The rest of me, I learned so much. I learned so much from the whole cast, but you and I got on like a house on fire from moment one. It was a scream. It was the first role, I have to say, where I inhabited that butler.
Yes, you became butler.
I was inside of him.
If you remember, the director would often take you home after the play and get you to keep on butlering for him.
Oh, but I learned so many skills. Chefing,
yep.
Cleaning, sewing. Mm-hmm. Boot polishing.
Like that.
6 months after the show closed, I was still there. And
was he paying
a
you?
A lot of actors...
Were you getting any money
for
that?
No. It was all part of the process. For many actors, the process starts before they walk on stage. They learn their lines, for example, or they read the play.
They learn how to act.
For me, the process only really starts to take fold. Normally, around about the interval of the final performance.
Right.
And that's why I stayed with him for 6 months, because it's afterwards.
You just got it clicked. And you didn't want to get out of it because you discovered gold.
I didn't want to.
But I still stand by the fact that it was a very good performance. And I think you should feel nothing but pride. I really do. Such a shame you didn't have any lines.
No.
But great.
I think sometimes, if you look at some of the greatest acting performances, Schwarzenegger in The Terminator, Lassie, very few
in The Terminator. Yes.
In the Lassie and The Terminator. That
she was great. Do you remember that bit where she just leaps at him and he shoots her dead? But it's a real the pain in those eyes. I think dogs are better than humans. I do. And I think if I've always said this, I used to say this to my late husband, John Smells. I said, I would not be against a dog directing me. They've just got an instinct that humans don't have, you know?
I tell you what they've got is they've got a wonderful sense of space. They can smell a hit. You know, they can smell it from miles off.
So, on to the Tom Hawker story.
Talking to actors, trying to understand their process. We're talking to actors. Actors, yeah, they rule the world.
You weren't as famous as me not very long ago, and now you're arguably more famous. Mm-hmm. Do you take a sort of cruel pleasure in that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes, I do. But again, I think a lot of people get into acting to express themselves, to say something about themselves. There's something rather cathartic about it for some people. For me, it's about just all those fuckers that have pissed me off along the way.
Yeah, Tim Stickler.
Screw you. Yeah, I can now say to Tim Stickler, have you got a quarter of a million followers on YouTube? No, you bloody haven't. Again, Sue Pollard. So for me, it brings me no joy that I'm more famous than you, because you are deserving of fame.
Oh, thank you.
But generally...
Is it true? I heard someone tell me you've got a list of all the other actors you've worked with or just seen on telly. Mm-hmm. And a list of how many Twitter followers they have, and you slowly cross them off like a sort of hit list as you beat them. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. The original guy that played Martin Fowler from EastEnders.
Oh, yes. Not the one who was Tucker Jenkins, the one before that.
No, Martin, that's his brother. You're thinking of Todd Carty.
Todd Carty?
Yeah, Todd Carty. As of 4 weeks ago, I've got 13 more Twitter followers than Todd Carty. So he can fuck himself.
13.
This is what the fame game 13, but and rising.
Well, no one else is going to start following him now, are they? He's done.
Well, of course they're bloody not, especially after listening to this. And this is what the fame game is all about.
So the Tom Walker story. Tom Walker. That's a funny name, isn't it? Tom Walker. What does that mean? I love it. It's very Celtic.
Thank you very much. Well, very few people really know the etymology of the word Tom.
Tom.
But the word Tom, it's actually short for Thomas.
If you fuck off!
Thomas, yes. If you've heard of a Thomas or a Thomas.
I think I wore one once. Version.
Yes.
Isn't a Thomas a kind of medieval pantaloon?
Pantaloon, but with a chain that attaches to your mittens, these metal mittens.
There's a hat on top, and it all kind of forms into one.
It's almost an all-in-one, really. It's like
a medieval
pajama.
It's a medieval onesie.
Absolutely.
So but with, you know, a hole for all that stuff. So that's Walker.
A walker. Well, believe it or not, it's ye olde Englishy.
Yeah.
Good. You know, they used to press grapes.
Oh, in the vineyards. Stick some grapes in a bucket.
In the vineyards.
Stand on top of it for a bit. Got some Chardonnay.
Yeah. So that's what a walker was.
That's so really?
Basically, I'm a medieval onesie who makes wine.
So probably somewhere back in the mists of time, there's a great-great-great-grandfather who is exactly doing that right now, but in the past. Do you believe in past lives? And do you ever use those in your acting? Because I went for a long period when I was playing a maid to Henry VIII in Henry VIII's Maid.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt, you know, I went through a lot to get into that character. I really looked back through the ages. I did a lot of hypnosis, a lot of chanting, a lot of drugs. And in the end, I felt I was that maid. And I really think there was something in it. Unfortunately, after the play, I remember quizzing the writer and he said he'd made the character up, which really upset me, actually, because I was convinced that I'd actually connected with her. And it made me look like an absolute tit as I talked to the press about it. But do you ever connect to your ancestors when you're acting?
Well, a very similar thing happened to me. I was once a supporting artist.
Oh.
Which is sometimes very horribly known as extra work, but it was a supporting artist.
Not an extra, if anything, they're the foundation on which we build.
Thank you.
I mean, we don't talk to them or anything, but you know.
God, no. But so I was a supporting artist on the set of Boone with Michael Elphick. And it was 2 days, and I got paid £60 a day playing a bit of an 80s thief, wide boy. Didn't have any lines or anything, but like
you never did until you started doing your own stuff, did you?
I rarely.
You were famous for not actually getting any lines.
But I connected.
And when you did get them, you forgot them.
Why bother fucking learning them?
I know.
That's my. I think that's the thing. I mean, if I can just digress slightly, this is the problem with a lot of actors, right? This is the problem with a lot of them, is they think they can get the script, learn the lines, turn up on set. Say the lines in a way that is realistic for the context within which this piece is being performed.
Sure.
Say cut, go home, that's it. Nonsense. For me, I don't look at the script. I tend not to. I like to...
Well, because lines are yours, so there's no point for us.
Absolutely ridiculous. Some of these lines are awful.
Yeah.
My kingdom for a horse. What's it mean?
No one would ever say... Well, it means I'll give you
my kingdom. No one would ever say that.
Yes, exactly.
It means what?
It means I'll give you my kingdom if you can fit it on a horse or something. I don't know. Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare. Don't get me wrong. You know, I literally breathe out Shakespeare as I'm walking, and people.
I guff him.
It's offensive. It's very offensive. But
at
the same time, I don't know what any of it's on about.
For me, to leave the script aside, a month before, maybe 6 to 8 weeks before, go live in a kibbutz, do some homing, chanting,
fishing,
smelling, fishing,
pushing people.
Yeah, like go on holiday, essentially, and then turn up and see what happens. And sometimes that's how you can find the magic. Mm. But this absolute nonsense of learning your lines and silly.
I'd burn 100 scripts for 1 second of truth.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So anyway.
It's almost as if... Yes. Yes, sorry, go on.
You were there on the set of Boone. Or Boom?
I was there on the set of Boone. Yeah, Boone. I don't know if you remember the theme tune to Boone. Do you remember the theme tune to Boone?
Oh, was it Boom, Boom, Boom? I want you in the room. Was it that?
No, darling. It was Ha Ho Silver
Lining. Yes.
Yeah. Lovely. Anyway, so I was playing this sort of imp-ish, sort of cockney
wide boy.
Child, wide boy. And on the way home, before I knew it, I'd mugged six people.
Wow.
And beaten an old granny to within an inch of her life.
Well, and did you know you were doing this, or were you...
I knew I was doing it, but as the character, which was unnamed in the cast list at the end, but I called him Chris.
Chris. Okay. Chris. That's a good name. Chris.
So,
surname or just Chris? Didn't
envelope.
Chris Envelope. Was that because you just saw an envelope? Be honest with me. It was, wasn't it? I knew it. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. No, that's a lot of characters come out that way, you know?
Yeah. 20 years after I've played the character, I just had to make up his...
Like you said earlier, sometimes it's 20 years after the performance when you really click who that guy was.
When you really click, and I just have.
It's a real shame because everyone's gone home.
His name was...
Often the theatres closed down.
When was the last time anyone watched an episode of Boone?
That's a good question, actually. There must be some people out there who go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick on a bit of Boone.
It must be on UK Play somewhere, mustn't
it? Who's doing that? And that's no offence to Boone. It's just, you know, it's had its day. There's so much stuff out there. Get Netflix, you idiots.
I saw advertised yesterday on the television, why not watch The Bill from the very top? And you think, why?
Why? Yes.
But why watch an episode of The Bill from 1987?
Well, it may be relevant to now because we're back in the 80s in some ways, aren't we? But, you know, sorry to get achingly political there, but I can't help it. But, I think the whole lockdown experience is making us ask, why do we do anything? Do you find that? I sort of start to read a book and then think, well, why?
In all honesty, not that I've been untruthful at all, and in all seriousness, not that I've not been serious.
No.
The phrase that comes to mind is, because it's highly pretentious to say so, is this sense of ennui.
Yes.
Which I had to look up. To know what it meant.
Not the football.
It's a sense of what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
What's the bloody point?
Why do I bother to do... Why are we doing this?
That's the first thing that springs to mind right now.
Yes. The one thing...
What is the
point? I could see it on your face seconds into the interview.
Oh, God.
One thing... I mean, I find shitting, I feel that's all right because I need to shit. Right? If I don't shit,
I tell you what...
And Sue Clinch, my best friend, hasn't, and she is full of it. Right now, she looks like Violet Beauregard.
Yes,
but with poo instead of blueberries.
So it's sort of a brown blueberry.
Yes,
a whinnet.
A whinnet. Is that a thing?
One of those things, a Klingon.
Okay,
I always called them whinnets.
Okay. I thought you were describing a new fruit to me, but no.
No. They're not very tasty. No, I've had some marvellous lockdown poos.
Yes,
marvellous. Almost spiritual.
Because it has a point. Reading a book doesn't.
Yeah.
Because the world is, it's all over.
Yeah.
God. Well, we've had a lovely chat. I think I've only got about 20 minutes max.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
50. No, that's all right. No, I've enjoyed it, darling. But we should probably get into some of these questions. So, Walker's story, it begins with the birth.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened before that.
Don't remember it, but yes, apparently.
Don't remember it. Do you use any of that in your acting nowadays? You ever...
Me not remembering my own birth
is
something that I use almost daily in my acting.
Right. Yeah. Is that just sense of slight confusion, sadness? I don't remember.
It's the one thing that connects me with every character I've played is that no character I've ever played remembers their own birth. And therefore, that's a really good starting point for me.
Do you think you could play a character who did remember? Or do you think that would be too much of a leap? Is that like asking you to, you know, play...
I think I could play anything.
You think you can play anything? You dare say that? I love that. Because, well, I mean, it's clear with your character, Jonathan Pye, because it's an absolute world away from who you are.
I had
no idea it was you for... Years, you know.
No, I mean, that's the thing, and it's all prosthetic.
Your voice, your face, your nothing.
I mean,
your anger.
I'm not fucking angry. So I mean,
no.
No.
So you were born, and where was that? I was born that in England.
That was in rural Somerset, yes.
Oh, yeah. Rural Somerset? I don't detect an accent. Did you lose it?
Well, it's there. It is there, but oh, I had it beat. Yeah, I know. I had it beaten out of me at drama school.
Was that Martin Nesta?
Martin Nesta was there. Yes. Because little known fact, we were at drama school together.
Yes, I wasn't meant to be there.
But you were working in the canteen, weren't you?
Yes, I was working in the canteen. And then Martin Nesta let me take you for a term. We did Shapes. Remember, we did because you had Shakespeare, Chekhov, mask work, and then I just did Shapes.
You did Shapes,
which was where we became triangle, square. I don't think we got to rhombus. Did we get to rhombus?
Well, I remember we what was he called? Jezzy or something. He put his back out doing an octagon.
Yes, he did, didn't he? And that was when, I was asked to leave after that.
You were.
I mean, they said when they got me in, they said, because, you know, I had acted and I talked it up a bit. They said, we hoped you'd teach them some acting rather than just Shapes. But I think it all begins with Shapes.
Can you teach acting, really?
Who can do it? I can't.
I've yet to meet anyone who can actually do it.
I've yet to meet an actor where I go, you're good at acting. But that's more because I won't give compliments to other actors, you know.
Why would you? All I do is, like I say, if I see an actor do a decent acting performance, I immediately look them up on Twitter to see how many Twitter followers they've got.
Yep,
and sure. If I've got more Twitter followers than they have, I'm a better actor.
Yes, then they can't possibly suggest they're in any way better, you know.
If they've got more Twitter followers than me,
they're cheating.
Bully and accuse them of all sorts of horrible things on Twitter until they either block me so I can't see how many Twitter followers they've got, which means I've won, or until they have a nervous or mental breakdown, or until they get the police to tell me to stop and desist, which is...
And you actually find those Twitter followers, don't you, and you will intimidate them.
I'll intimidate them. I'll try and find out where they live if need be.
You'll go around there and you'll get them on the floor. You put a gun to the head and they'll say, like, what is it you want? You just say, just stop following, you know.
Todd just stop Carter. Following this person, Todd Carter. Stop following him now. And maybe follow me if you're not already. Why aren't you following me? My Twitter feed's hilarious.
Exactly.
If you want jokes about Trump.
What does this talk
Todd Carter?
I was in EastEnders once.
All he's advertising is, weirdly enough, going back and watching the original The Bill series from start to finish, which, of course, he ended up in.
Yes, he did. God, that was a black day.
It was.
So, first off, when did you know you were special? Was it before drama school?
I don't think anyone goes to drama school without thinking they're special, do they? I mean, it's absolutely true. Take your pick of what type of wanker you want today, isn't it?
If self-serving. Anything, drama school makes you realise, oh, I'm not that special.
I think everyone turns up to drama school thinking, well, because I was the best Taunton Amateur Operatic Society, which I was a member of. I was clearly one of the best people there. Right. Suddenly I went to drama school and you had people that were slightly better than me. And
that was really good.
They were actually
learned their lines, for example, read the script, stuff like that.
Again, I don't see that as a plus point.
So you're in Taunton's Amateur Dramatics. What kind of did you do there, Eightbourne?
I played Coco in The Mikado.
Lovely.
Strephon in Iolanthe. And Chino in West Side Story. Chino is the one that ends up shooting Tony. Unfortunately, I'm no good with accents. So I did the Puerto Rican, is it Puerto Rican? Puerto Rican accent. I did it slightly Scottish. That is a true story. One of the lines was, Maria, where are your parents? Is what I was supposed to say. Even that sounds awful. That's me trying to actually do it.
Oh, that was you. Okay, that was you attempting to do it right.
And this is how it came out. Maria, where are your parents? which was sort of a bad Scottish accent.
Really. And did they go with it? Were they laughing? Were they laughing at you?
Taunton Amateur Operatic Society. I mean, geez, you could fling shit at them and everyone would get up and clap. So yeah,
and you did, didn't you, once?
And Well, that's the Somersetian way, isn't it? I mean, usually you sort of throw flowers at the diva. In Somerset, you just fling shit, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a mark of respect.
And a mark of lack of respect. They just fling shit.
Yeah.
Day in, day out.
It's just like chimps, really. So what was it like after drama school? Because I didn't see you for years. Were you managing to get work at all, or was it you?
I was in a
plays, didn't you?
I did. I was in a musical written by the Pet Shop Boys.
Ooh.
Where, I mean, this was a precursor to Who Bummed the Butler. I played a gay rent boy, and I had a sex scene in it. So I was bummed, I think, about 8 times a week for 6
times
months
a week
on the Western
right.
stage.
Were the Pet Shop Boys allowed to join in, or was it very much a hands-off, this is the actors?
They were in the room. Let me put it that way.
They were having a good
I'm
old
say
watch.
No more.
They liked to
they
watch.
They were having a bloody good watch.
And was there a point where you're there on stage? Where was that again? Was that the Wyndham Theatre, was it? Or the?
It was at the Arts Theatre.
The Arts Theatre?
Yeah, it's not really West End, is it? It's a small West End.
No, definitely not worth going through that. Was there a part of you when you're there, you know, bent over, taking it, just thinking, yeah. This is it, I made it?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when my parents were in watching. That for me was a what? Was an absolute.
What did they
highlight.
Say afterwards? What were they like with it?
They said things like, well done.
Mm. Was it just that scene you were in? Or did you have... No, well, they give you lines this time.
They did have lines. I also had to pretend to suck someone off in a toilet. This is all true.
Mum and Dad, did the Taunton's Amateur Dramatics Group come down?
Yes. And they wanted to put it on themselves, but of course they couldn't get the licence. But what else? I also... And I died of an overdose at the end. I died of a... I went into a K-hole, is what they call it. A K-hole.
A good role,
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
What research did you do for that?
I took loads of ketamine and sucked a lot of dick.
Great.
Simple as that.
Why not?
Namely, Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe's. That's how I got the job.
Yeah. I was going to say, is that how you got it? You know, did you have to sleep with anyone?
Yeah.
In my case, it's often the case of not sleeping with anyone. You know, people say to me, look, don't try and sleep with me and I'll give you the job, which is a little galling, but still work, isn't it? When you're going for an audition, which you don't bother doing anymore, do you? Do you even bother auditioning anymore, or are you just Jonathan Powell?
No, but I might have to start quite soon.
Yeah, you might have to actually,
for sort of 5 years,
Well, there isn't any, though. There isn't any, darling, so...
No, there aren't any. No.
When you do go, what sort of techniques do you employ to try and throw the other actors off?
When you go for an audition, there's the room where the audition takes place, and then there is the room just outside where you've got all these people smiling at each other. This is the worst bit of the audition, chatting to each other, especially when they've worked recently. You've got these people chatting, telling people what they've been up to recently. Well, I did a bit of Holmby. Oh, well, I was at the RSA. Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I tend to do is walk in there, and you just walk around the room, and you just slap them all around the face.
Right.
Get them really shocked. Take a slash in one of their bags, or just do whatever
slash,
you can.
Just piss in their bag.
Piss in their bag, whatever.
Wow,
whatever it
I
takes.
Love that.
Also, because I'm from Somerset, you can throw shit legally, so I just throw poo around, smear it around the place. Put the other actors off. That's what you need to do.
Make them feel if they get this job, they're dead, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you'll go around, you'll murder their dog or something.
Yeah, sure.
And then how I prepare for what happens when you're in the actual audition room, I tend to, again, don't learn the lines.
Yes.
Whatever you do.
No.
Don't look at the script. Make
probably shit.
Big Yeah, exactly.
That's what I say in auditions.
Just make,
I bring the script, I throw it on the floor and I go, I haven't bothered reading that because it's probably
shit. It's probably shit. And now let me give you
watch
a selection
this.
Of my best bits is what I tend to do.
Yeah.
I like to be what I call a quadruple threat.
Mm.
I sing a song,
mm-hmm.
normally a Gilbert and Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
I do a dance because I've got tap dance up to grade 3. So I tend to do just a little bit of tap.
Is that impressive?
Little, no, but it does demonstrate where I'm at with my tapping.
Right, okay. So we know
then
you're
I do
not that good.
I like to do a self-penned soliloquy.
Great.
The other bit, I like to sort of, I bring in a lot of kit and I fry them up an egg sandwich.
Lovely.
Just to prove that I can cook with eggs.
A camping stove.
It's lovely. When I was auditioning for the RSC, I cut them a full English.
Oh, wow.
I didn't get the part, but I did manage to get a job in the...
in the canteen
in the kitchen
again.
Downstairs.
Yeah, so, that's lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you sort of start the oven and the frying process before you start the audition? Get it
what
frying.
I like to do is I like to set it up, get the hob going, get the oil, and then you do the tap dance whilst the oil is heating.
Well,
put the egg in.
Yep.
Once the egg is in, then you sing a little ditty. I'm the very model of a modern maid general, something like that.
Yes.
dish out the fried egg sandwiches in time for the soliloquy, which is normally the point where you know whether you've got it or not. So normally
have the sandwiches either way, you know. If you want to
enjoy the sandwiches. Great.
If not, enjoy the sandwiches. Ask for a couple of quid if to cover you your costs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because, you know, it's not expensive eggs, but they don't pay for themselves eggs, do they?
No, no. I mean, I imagine you're probably the only person who still gets caged, aren't you?
I prefer caged.
Yeah.
There's something. It's like, you know, when you go for a poo and it's quite hard and it's quite a difficult process.
Yeah.
And the end result is so much more satisfying. I find if an egg's been laid through pain and misery, that torture, it tastes tortured.
Ever so sweeter. Sweet. Yeah, ever so sweeter. I know exactly what you mean.
It's like exactly all this free range beef. Mm. What's the point? I want a tortured cow.
Well, at least it's had a big death. It's drama.
It's been an awful
life. Actor. You like the drama. You love the drama. A play, if you went to see a play and it was just some people having an all right time in a field, where's the fun in that? You know?
Exactly.
If the sound of music was literally just about the hills.
So imagine if in Hamlet, Hamlet's father's ghosts comes along and he says, "Don't worry, it was just heart failure.
Yeah.
Nothing untoward.
Yeah, yeah.
I just had a dicky heart."
I think it's a very powerful argument. I really do. I think you're onto something. I think, yeah. I'm not going to agree with you.
I've forgotten what the argument was.
Same here. I think it was caged hens. So anyway, must jump forwards.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plot like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends, or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You'd had your bum out in every theatre that would let you for years.
Yes, yeah. And some that wouldn't.
Getting there, and some that wouldn't. But it still wasn't getting there. You were still struggling. Mm-hmm. I remember the dreary years, you know, the tough years. You must have really thought, should I just give up? And to be honest, I remember everyone else saying, yeah, do. You're terrible at this.
I should.
But then eventually fame at last. Now, you're a classic example of someone who says, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Hold on, keep going, Tom. You may not be working now, but one day this thing called the internet's going to really take off. There'll be a thing called YouTube, a website. You'll be able to put videos on there. Also, at the same time, politics will go really crazy. Hillary will lose, Trump will win. You'll have a particularly controversial take on that. And then people will start actually giving you money. You've been saying all that for years, haven't you?
20, 30 years.
I remember going around going, what do you want to do? What do you want to, you know, Hamlet? I'd like to be in the bill. And you said all that. And it was really, at the time, I thought, this kid's going nowhere. He can barely do his triangle, you know? How's he going to do this? But lo and behold, yet, you were 100% right.
I always like to be 100% right. Yeah. What's the point in being 62% right, 73% right? I'm 100% right. And the thing is about me and what I do with pie, which now that we've come to the crux of it,
yeah,
I am 100% right 100% of the time. And everything that I say,
yes,
and everything that Jonathan Pye says is 100% right. And anyone that says otherwise, they don't deserve life.
Wow. Wow. Do you feel like it's gone to your head at all, playing that role?
No. I feel probably more humble and more humility than I've ever felt. I'm, like Donald Trump said, I am the most humble person on the planet.
Mm. After Jonathan Pye. That's what he said.
Yes.
That's after Jonathan Pye. After the character Jonathan Pye.
Important point there as well, character.
It is a character. It is a character. And so Jonathan Pye, for anyone who's been living under a bloody rock, I don't think anyone lives under a rock. It's a very silly phrase. But what is Jonathan Pye and why?
He's a superhero, really. If you think about it, you know, in the vein of Superman, Spider-Man, Mr. Muscle.
Yeah. He's a news reporter, isn't he?
He's a news reporter.
Right, okay.
Truth is his superpower, really. He exposes truth through the clever use of swear words, such as bum, bollocks, tit and fuck. He can use those words to find truth and out untruth.
So in a way, you're still exposing yourself, just where once it was your bum, now it's the truth. Never the twain shall meet, in a way.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's complex stuff. You know, it's smart satire. Words like piss, wanker.
What was the one what done it, as the Sun says? Was it the Hillary and...
That made me sort of a global megastar, but I was a mildly international superstar before that. I did one about just the state of how shit the fucking world is. And everyone seemed to like that. And then about a year later, Hillary Clinton lost the election, thank God. And Donald Trump became president. Oh, it's just, you know, I've got a career out of that.
Absolutely.
Man, and I love him. I love him for it.
There has been a backlash, and you've been called all sorts of things, from a loony lefty to a Nazi apologist. Mm-hmm. Where do you sit on that spectrum?
I think you can be both.
Really?
I think you can be a loony lefty and also still apologise for
the Nazis.
For the Nazis. I can apologise for them.
Actually, thinking about that, isn't it? That is the case, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of far left people do end up apologising for... Apologising for the Nazis.
I mean, I think the thing is, if you were to listen to... And they're all right. They're all right. The set of woke comedians, all of them, oddly enough, write columns in The Guardian. They've suggested that I have far right tendencies, and they're absolutely right. I always find the best way to promote Nazism is to write satirical comedy about Donald Trump and the Tories, and occasionally have a go at The Guardian. That's the best way, as opposed to, for example, joining Britain First. I prefer to just make jokes about Boris Johnson. And within those jokes, there's a hidden Nazi.
You're very slowly picking away I get what you're doing. It's very clever.
Thank you.
And it must hurt sometimes, or do you not give the tiniest of shits?
I used to give a lot of shits, and now I don't give a shit anymore. If you genuinely think someone's a racist because they dare to point out the excesses of woke culture, you're an arsehole. And therefore, something happened last year. There are these two comedians who have a podcast on the BBC. They've got employed by the BBC somehow. And they do a podcast about...
Because you haven't, have you?
No, I've never, no. never, no.
I mean, you tried, didn't you?
I did. Wasn't allowed through the door. And they do a comedy podcast about men's mental health. So, I mean, as you can imagine, it's hilarious. And there was an article in The Guardian saying that Terry Gillingham had written some article saying you can't laugh at anything these days, can you? And they said, well, Terry Gillingham is thick. And then right next to it, apropos of nothing, it said Jonathan Pye is thick. And I thought that was very odd that suddenly they're putting words in my mouth. But what I liked about it is, one, saying Jonathan Pye is thick is probably the most stupid thing I've ever had written about me, because he doesn't exist, he's a character. But also, in the preceding sentence, these people had decided to lecture a Monty Python about comedy. And that actually, oddly, was a moment where I read that article and for a split second I was really angry, and then I just laughed at the stupidity of it. And ever since then, I've sort of gone, do you know what? If people want to throw insults at me, they're more than welcome.
Aww.
I got very serious there.
No, it's nice.
I'm sorry.
Behind the bullshit. Well, they're probably two of my friends.
Yes, they probably are. They probably are. Fuck
but them. As are you. You see, I can have friends from all across the... Well...
You can have far-right friends like me.
Yeah.
And you can have loony-lefty friends like them.
Yes. So, let's finish with the all-important process, of course.
Yes.
So that's achingly important to you. So how do you get into character? How do you find the character?
I like to hire a room, a big, big rehearsal room, but just me. Mm-hmm. And spend 3 or 4 weeks in that room. It's the little things, imagining how they brush their teeth. Mm. When I did Macbeth, I played Macbeth.
Right.
And I remember spending 3 days wondering how he'd have clipped his toenails.
Was it like a Scottish sword? Like
a dagger.
Right. Not a full, what are the Highlander type thing? Because that'd take toes clean off. So let's say, put you on the spot, you're playing a tiger,
right.
Rainforest. You're up, you're going to be playing this tiger in a piece at the National. It's the poem Tiger, Tiger Burning Bright, but turned into a play for no reason. In a rainforest, you're being hunted for no fault of your own. Where do you begin? What's the first thing you do to get into that role? Because that's a big leap, isn't it? I mean, Jonathan Pye is an even bigger leap for you, obviously, because it's nothing like you.
Nothing like
tiger.
I would commit a crime, a very bad crime, and then I'd go on the run for just a couple of weeks.
In real life?
In real life.
Yeah.
Just to know what it felt like to be hunted. Mm. And then, of course, after a couple of weeks, I'd turn up to the police station and say, hey, it was just a process. Sure. Don't worry about it. I'll talk to the family.
You'd claim actor's process.
Yeah, which you can do. So I'd be chased a lot. I'd probably grow my teeth.
Right. Can you do that? Do you know how to grow your teeth?
Well, where there's a will, there's a way. And I'd grow my teeth. And if you can't grow your teeth, then I don't know how to do it.
Well then how are you going to be a tiger? I know what you mean. Well, that's very good. That's a good answer, darling. That's a good answer. And have you ever had that thing where you've got a character and you've never been able to get into it? You just couldn't land it. And what did you do? Fuck it off and go for a smoke?
Let's be honest. With Jonathan Pye, quite often I do phone him in.
Mm.
You know, you just sort of go, pissy Boris.
That'll do.
He's a tit. And you just press upload. That's how easy it is for me.
That one got 4 million views, didn't it? Pissy Boris, he's a tit.
16 million views worldwide. Yeah. Boris is a tit. And the other one was, Teresa's a slag, isn't she?
That's slag. Funny.
It's funny, but also it's, Anna, it's smart. That's
it is very clever.
Listen to this.
All right.
The NHS, that's fucked, isn't it? It's clever.
Because actually,
it's smart.
And you said that in...
One more. Okay. Donald Trump.
Is that it?
There
you go. That's it.
Don't need words.
I mean, just saying Donald Trump was 90% already, but then when you added that minor grr.
It's all about the rhythm, isn't it?
I was going to ask you, do you think...
I don't think you could, Anna.
Success is talent. Do you think your success is talent or timing or something else that begins with T?
It's...
Titillation.
Three T's. Testicles. You've got to have big balls. To be able to attack the low-hanging fruit that is Donald Trump and Boris Johnson,
you've got to have some low-hanging fruit of your own. Yeah, yeah.
So testicles, timing, talent, I don't know about that.
I don't think you need that at this point, really, do you? We've all got trail talent.
Britain's got talent. Well, has it?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, if you look at Britain's Got Talent, A fucking dog has won it, what, three times? Our dogs are more talented than we are. Certainly when it comes to directing theatre.
Oh, God, some of them are brilliant. They're brilliant. They're
wonderful.
Thanks for that callback. That was really
good. Thank you very much.
And just before we go, what's your advice for them young actors, for the ones coming in? Because obviously you're famous for your warmth and your guidance and your kindness to young actors. What's your advice?
Don't fucking bother. Fuck off. Leave it to us professionals and you young people. You go and just get on Instagram.
Do something worth
it. Acting is dead. Acting is dead.
Yeah.
Become an influencer. Become an influencer. There you go. That's my advice to upcoming actors. And sack off the acting.
Right, Tom. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. I've been talking to the wonderful Tom Walker. See you soon, my darling. Take care. Where can we find you?
Cheers, darling.
Where can we find you?
Oh, yeah. Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Certainly not the fucking BBC. That's where you can't find me.
Long may that never happen. Catch up with you soon.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Talking to Actors with Annaman, starring Colin Holt, edited by Dan Snellgrove, part of the Great Big Owl family. Please subscribe, review and share. You can find Colin on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook and YouTube. And the same goes for Annaman. Just look it up, you'll find it. I'm Sue Clinch. Ta-ra.
GreatBigOwl.com.
I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monks.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic.
Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page?
It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question.
If
you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosec.
Available on all your podcast apps. That's not right. Just
can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.